तु देवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So we welcome all of you for this Sunday feast program. Today we'll discuss on the topic called Vaishnava qualities. So if you read the Gita, Bhagavad Gita chapter 16 talks about the divine and demonic natures. It's called Daiva Asura Sampad Vibhaga Yoga. So in the first part of this chapter, Krishna talks about divine qualities. Qualities that are found in demigods and other saintly people. And in the remaining part of the chapter, Krishna talks about demonic qualities. Qualities that are found in demons or uncivilized people. So in the divine qualities, he spends only three verses. Three or four verses, Krishna gives a list of what are these divine qualities. He says, Abhayam, Sattva, Samshuddhi, Jnana, Yoga, Vyavasthiti. Around 10-15 qualities he gives there. And the remaining whole chapter, maybe around 20 verses, 19 to 20 verses, Krishna speaks about demonic qualities. What are the demonic qualities? How they behave? How they talk? What is their attitude? So from this chapter we understand how we need to avoid cultivating demonic qualities and how we need to cultivate divine qualities. Prabhupada in his lectures and writings often used to quote this verse in the Bhagavatam. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. It says, one who is practicing bhagavati akinchana, one who is practicing pure devotional service, in such a person, sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura, you will find all the divine qualities that are found in demigods. Samasate sura. Sura means demigods. So demigods are usually well behaved and they have all divine qualities. So whatever divine qualities we find in them, those divine qualities will appear in a person who is performing pure devotional service. So the verse indirectly says, one need not separately endeavor, separately strive for or work hard towards acquiring any good quality. All we need to do is do pure devotional service, do pure Krishna bhakti, and all these good qualities that we appreciate in everyone, in others, those qualities will automatically come. And that's the whole idea. So instead of separately trying to get good qualities like, say, truthfulness and honesty and cleanliness, non-violence, all these good qualities which we appreciate in general, it is not necessary, this verse says, to separately work individually to get these good qualities. Because when you water the root of the tree, which is Krishna, by rendering devotional service to Krishna, then these things are automatically taken care of. Otherwise, on the other hand, if we separately try to get these qualities, all these divine qualities, but forget or ignore rendering pure devotional service to Krishna, then these qualities will not stay for long, or they are not sustainable. Today is the age of sustainability and eco-friendly. Our Prabhu is here promoting this. So these things cannot sustain on their own without the foundation of devotional service. So therefore it is important that first we focus on the main thing, devotional service, and then we take extra effort, that's not an issue. Because many times we find people ask this question, you know, you people are devotees, I know certain devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for the last several years, but there are so many bad qualities in him. They are, they cheat or they tell lies or they are not punctual, they don't keep their word. So what is the use of doing all this bhakti bhakti, itna kar rahe aap log? What is the use? But on the other hand, I find I have so many other friends outside who are not devotees, who are not ISKCON members, but they are not doing any bhakti, no religion, they don't go to temples regularly, but in them we find so many good qualities which are absent in devotees. So isn't that better? Right. So again, this point is coming here. Others may have good qualities we should appreciate. And if we don't have these qualities in spite of performing devotional service, we should definitely understand probably something we are doing wrong. And we need to take care of those things. And others who are appearing to have these qualities, if they are not founded or based on devotional service, really pure devotional service, then those good qualities will not last for long. Especially when there are temptations and allurements, we tend to break the barriers and break those principles. So therefore, both have to go together. We focus on pure devotional service, and at the same time, if some qualities are missing in us, we have to identify them correctly and strive hard to acquire those qualities. Then the combination is good. A devotee with good qualification is the best preacher. In one conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya highlights this point. Maryada Sadhura Bhushan, he says, good qualities that are found in a devotee are the ornament of a devotee. A devotee without good qualities is a very bad example. But when a devotee is decorated with all the good qualities, then that is the best model we can present to the world. So therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita you find this verse. Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a list of 26 qualities which There are many qualities, but 26 are the most important. And he says a devotee should be decorated with these 26 qualities. So which are those 26? It's a list. He says, Kripalu akrita droha satya sarasama nidosha vadanya mrudu shuchi akinchana sarvopakaraka shanta krishnaika sharana akama aniha sthira vijita shadguna mitabhuk apramatta manada amani gambhira karuna maitra kavi daksha mauni. So what are these? Devotees are always merciful, kripalu, humble, truthful, equal to all in all dealings, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean, shuchi akinchana, sarvopakaraka, that is, they are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. Sarvopakaraka. Shanta, they are peaceful. Surrender to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities. What are the six bad qualities? Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, madamatsar. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. They are controlled. And they eat only as much as required. This is interesting. They eat. Mitabhuk is the word used. They don't overeat unnecessarily. And they are not inebriated. Inebriated means intoxicated with pride and other opulences. They are respectful. Manada. Manada means one is eager to offer respect to others. Amani, which means they don't expect respect in return. They are grave, gambhira, compassionate, karuna, and without false prestige. They are friendly, maitra, poetic, kavi, expert, daksha, and mauni, silent. These are the 26 qualities. So, these are supposed to encourage us, not make us depressed. If you are not having these qualities, we should not feel depressed, but we need to feel enthusiastic to cultivate these qualities. So the drama that we saw here, of Haridas Thakur being beaten in 22 marketplaces, he was one person who was decorated with all these qualities. So in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, this is interesting, Lord Chaitanya's associates embodied most of these qualities, and some devotees embodied one quality to the extreme. So Lord Chaitanya used these devotees to emphasize certain qualities within his associates. For example, Haridas Thakur, we see, he embodied which quality? He embodied the quality of tolerance. As we saw in the drama, he was arrested by the Qazi for chanting Krishna's holy names. So it is said Haridas Thakur was, some say he was born in a Muslim family, some say he was born in a Hindu family but later adopted by a Muslim family. But he was raised in a Muslim family, whatever the facts are. He was raised in a Muslim family and somehow with the association of devotees he developed this taste for chanting Krishna's holy names. So this is a place called Benapol, which is currently in Bangladesh. That's his place of birth. And the local Muslims and the king and the Qazi, when they saw that Haridas Thakur is adopting a different religion, which is different from theirs, they got angry and they felt he was ruining our religion. And they arrested him and threatened him that we are going to kill you. We are going to beat you in 22 marketplaces until you give up your this religion. And Haridas Thakur said, you may cut my body into 1,000 pieces and each part of my body will vibrate Krishna's names. Which means he is not going to give up. That's the message he conveyed. And they decided they will beat him up. And he was dragged into 22 marketplaces and beaten at every place. So it is said, usually no one survives beyond 2 or 3 marketplaces, the beatings. But after every marketplace, they were saying Haridas Thakur is still alive after every beating. Until they reached 22 places and still he was alive. So that's when they felt ki this is something divine incident. Some higher superior powers are protecting him. Later in the Mahaprakash Leela, we find how Lord Chaitanya revealed to him that he was the one who protected Haridas Thakur by covering his body with his own body. And Lord Chaitanya showed how those marks of the chabuk were there imprinted on his back. Anyways, so Haridas Thakur, when those soldiers who were beating him up, they said, if you don't die, then we will die. The king will kill us if you don't die, because we have been ordered to kill you. So he said, if my living is a cause of anxiety to you, then I will die. And then he lay there, and all his heartbeat was stopped. They noticed he was as good as a dead body. And then they threw him into the Ganga. So Haridas crossed the river, went to the other part of the river, and then he continued his chanting. Later the news spread that Haridas is still alive. He didn't die. That's when the Qazi and the king got convinced that he is no ordinary person. And then they appreciated him, respected him, begged forgiveness. So Haridas Thakur embodied this quality of tolerance. So usually no one can survive, especially when someone has done some injustice to us. We feel we should take revenge and we should react, we should complain. That's natural, right? Everyone of us do that. And even if we perceive some injustice, we want to react, even if it is not true. But here we find Haridas Thakur not only not complaining, but instead forgiving them and praying for their... Thakur was, when he was being beaten, he was praying, these people don't know what they are doing. They are ignorant. So please forgive them. So Lord Chaitanya later said, I would have immediately cut off their heads with my Sudarshan Chakra. But because you Haridas were praying for their welfare, I didn't do anything. Otherwise I would have cut their heads off. So that's devotee. Tolerating the greatest insult, greatest abuse, greatest torture. Something similar to what we find in the Bhagavatam, in Prahlad Maharaj's story. Although he was being tortured by Hiranyakashipu and other demons, Prahlad was praying for them, for their welfare. And when Narsingdev appeared and asked for a blessing, he said, please deliver my father from all the sinful reactions. So this is an interesting characteristic that we find in exalted devotees, that not only do they not take offense, but they are ready to forgive others. To some extent we may forget what someone has done to you, but to pray for the welfare of the other person is the challenge. If someone does something wrong to us, we may forgive. By intellectually we may convince, oh, let me forgive, because forgiving is good for me. Because if we harbor those ill feelings in us, then we are the ones who lose something. So in that sense we may forgive someone. But to pray for that welfare is not so easy. That's what these exalted devotees do. In another instance we find same Haridas Thakur, when he was tested by that prostitute. The prostitute wanted to seduce him. The local Khan, Zamindar, Ramchandra Khan, he wanted to spoil the name of Haridas Thakur. So this prostitute was sent there. And Haridas Thakur, by his compassionate dealings, he transformed that prostitute and made her into a great devotee. So tolerating temptations, tolerating abuse, tolerating all kinds of insults, that's the quality Haridas Thakur personifies. And we need to try to cultivate this quality of tolerance. In the Gita, Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama payino nitya stam stitikshasva bharata. Just as seasons change, winter and summer and rainy season, and sukha dukkha, shitoshna sukha dukkhada, happiness and distress comes, so tolerate. Some situations will be happy for you, they won't last long. Then some difficult situations will come, but they also won't last long. So just as seasons change, these happy and miserable conditions keep changing. We need not too much worry about any situation. So when a difficult situation comes in our life, we need not lament, oh, so unfortunate, why this happened to me. That we have to tolerate. And when some happy situations come in our life, that also is to be tolerated. Sometimes it is said, tolerating happy situations is more difficult than tolerating difficult situations. Because in happy situations, we become so intoxicated, we become so uncontrolled, that we may end up offending others many times. Especially when we get some nice position, nice, too much wealth, in that proud, arrogant state, we may offend others. So it's more difficult to tolerate those positions and situations than tolerating in difficult situations. Because in difficult situations, we are humble. We don't offend others. Either way, whether it is happy situation or difficult situation, Krishna advises, titikshasva bharata, tolerate. And in another verse he says, about lust and other temptations, he says, shakno tihai vayasodhum, prak sharira vimokshanat, kama krodhodbhavam vegam, sayuktas sasukhinara. He says, kama krodhodbhavam vegam. Vegam means urges. Kama krodhodbhavam. Urges that arise out of kama and krodha. These urges have to be tolerated. These urges will continue prak sharira vimokshanath, till the time of leaving the body. So never ever we will be completely free from these urges. They will continue. Of course, with devotion service, these things will reduce. They are expected to reduce. But never we should think, oh, now I am completely free of these urges. So these urges will last until we have this material body. And we need to tolerate those urges till the point of death. Without succumbing to those temptations. So tolerance is important. Otherwise, if we cannot tolerate, then we may go to any extreme. We may break the regulative principles. We may offend others. If we are unable to, just for a little bit enjoyment, flickering enjoyment, some position, we may break our principles and later we may have to suffer for that. So Haridas Thakur is the person who embodied tolerance. Then another of us, one of Lord Chaitanya associates, Sanatan Goswami, he was the one who personified this quality of humility. Here we have humility. There is this, it's a translation, it is there. Humility is one quality a devotee need to acquire. And Lord Chaitanya's famous formula is there. Trinadapi suni chena, tarurapi sahishnuna, amani namana dena kirtaniya sahari. Only in a humble state of mind we can constantly chant the holy names. Without that quality, our show of, or our practice of devotional service will be mixed or contaminated. But when we are humble, then we can easily chant, call out to Krishna's holy names and make real advancement. So Sanatan Goswami's life story, if you see, he demonstrated this quality. In one of his books, he writes a nice prayer. He has written this book, Brihat Bhagavatamrit. There, the beginning of the book, he writes this prayer. By taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya's gem-like beauty, even a dull person like me can be inspired to dance wonderfully. Dull person like. So, Sroop and Sanatan Goswami, these two brothers were ministers in Nawab Hussain Shah's government, kingdom. And they came from a very aristocratic, rich, wealthy family. And even they had high positions as prime minister and home minister in Nawab Hussain Shah's kingdom. So, very influential position, very amassed lot of wealth. But when they heard Lord Chaitanya has come and he has started his Sankirtan movement, they gave up everything, their position, wealth, everything, and they joined Lord Chaitanya's mission. So when they approached, when they first met Lord Chaitanya, they put a grass in between their teeth and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. So grass, like Trinadapi, Trin represents humility, that I am insignificant. I am as lower than the grass. That's the message when you put grass between in your mouth, between your teeth. So both of them put grass between their teeth and then went to Lord Chaitanya and said, we are such low people, unqualified, we have been serving this sinful king, we have wasted our life, so, but you have saved us, you have delivered us, and they begged forgiveness and surrendered. So, that demonstrated, when Lord Chaitanya saw that these two devotees are so humble, then Lord Chaitanya felt, they are the right people to continue my mission. They can be empowered with my spiritual potency, and they can later on carry forward this mission. And Lord Chaitanya instructed both of them, both of you should go to Vrindavan and write books on the science of devotional service. And you should excavate lost holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes. And in this way, re-establish Vrindavan's lost glory. So that's what they did. They settled in Vrindavan and wrote so many books. Most of the philosophy that we have, whatever books Prabhupada translated, several of the books, is ultimately based on the writings of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, all these books are originally written by these two people. So in Sanatan Goswami's life, we find when both of them were in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri for several years. So one time both of them came there and they were spending time with Lord Chaitanya and they were associating with him, serving him there. So one day Lord Chaitanya called Sanatan Goswami for some purpose. So Sanatan Goswami was staying with Haridas Thakur in a place called Siddha Bakul. If you go to Jagannath Puri, it is not very far from the main Jagannath Puri temple. So Siddha Bakul he was staying and Lord Chaitanya called him for some purpose. So when he reached there, Lord Chaitanya asked him, so how did you come? So it is said there was a direct route from Sanatan Goswami's place to Jagannath temple. And there was a long route along the beach. Those who have gone to Jagannath Puri, they will know. So it's a long route. So that route is the beach road, full of sand. So Sanatan Goswami took that long route to go and meet Lord Chaitanya. And during the hot sun, during the day, and there were no footwear, he was not wearing any shoes. So when Lord Chaitanya saw, he said, how did you come? So he said, I came along the beach. Why did you take the beach road? Why didn't you come along the main road, straight road? He said, you know why all these pujaris of Lord Jagannath, they keep walking along this road, main road. and I am so low born, I am so fallen. If I also go along that path, then I may accidentally touch them, these pujaris, and they may get contaminated. They may be carrying bhoga for the deities, so that will get contaminated. So that's why I took the long route. But what happened by passing along the long route, Sanatan Goswami's feet got burnt and he had developed several blisters. So Lord Chaitanya was shocked to see all these injuries on his leg. But when he heard this reason, that I didn't want to contaminate the pujaris of Jagannath, that's why I took this long route. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was extremely pleased. And there Prabhupada writes a nice purport about deity worship. What are the standards of deity worship? He says, it is clearly indicated that priests performing deity worship should be careful to keep themselves completely pure and not be touched by outsiders. Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, thinking themselves mlechas and yavanas because of their past association with Muslims, did not enter the temple or even travel on the path in front of the temple gate. It is customary for the priests of temples in India not even to touch outsiders or enter the deity room after having been touched. This is a very important item in temple worship. So even it is said that when the pujari prepares that bhoga plate, it should not be seen by anyone. No one should see it. It should be covered. Otherwise, if anyone outsider sees, then he may develop the desire to enjoy that food. And even that desire to enjoy is like contamination. Forget about touching or something falling on it. That we understand. But even the thought that I want to enjoy, or I want to enjoy after it is offered, all these things, thoughts come in our mind. So these thoughts are contaminating. So therefore it is covered. So even touching the pujari, therefore ideally, even in big traditional temples you find that there is a kund. In big temples, there is a kund or pond near the temple, very close to the temple. So pujaris will take a bath, immediately enter, directly enter the altar, without having to touch anyone or see anyone. That's the standard. But Prabhupada has relaxed many things because he feels everyone cannot, especially in Kali Yuga, it is not so easy to practice all these principles. But as much as possible, we need to practice these standards. Even at home, if we can do, that is much better. Not allowing anyone to see the bhoga, even strictly avoiding to desire to enjoy the bhoga, all those principles, if we can follow, then that's topmost standards of deity worship. So Sanatan Goswami, when Lord Chaitanya heard this reason of Sanatan Goswami, he was extremely pleased. And that demonstrated his humility. How Sanatan Goswami is so careful about not contaminating the pujaris who are walking along the road. That's a high standard of humility. And he avoided, and he didn't mind going along the long route, developing injuries on his legs, just to meet Lord Chaitanya. In another place, it is said one time he developed this disease, some kind of skin disease, because of which there were so many boils on his body. And this liquid was coming out of this body, some pus and other things. Smelly things. So Lord Chaitanya would daily come to Haridas Thakur's kutir, and Sanatan Goswami would be staying there, and Lord Chaitanya would come and meet both of them, Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. And as soon as he would see them, he would hug them, embrace them. So Sanatan Goswami would feel bad that my body is releasing all this liquid, and when Lord Chaitanya hugs me, his body is contaminated by this liquid. But so he would feel embarrassed and try to avoid being hugged by Lord Chaitanya. But still Lord Chaitanya would come and tight forcefully embrace him. And this continued for several days. So one day when Lord Chaitanya came and hugged him, all those disease and boils disappeared. So Lord Chaitanya didn't mind. He said, "I don't mind embracing you. I feel I am getting purified by embracing a devotee like you." That's the statement he made. But Sanatan Goswami continued to feel. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya would take great pleasure in embracing his devotees, in glorifying his devotees. It is said, whenever Lord Chaitanya would glorify any devotee, he would speak as if he had 10 mouths or 100 mouths. That's how he took pleasure in appreciating and glorifying the qualities of great devotees like Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami embodied this quality of humility. Then we have another devotee in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He was Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai embodied which quality? He embodied this quality of sense control. So it is said, Sanatana Goswami was Lavanga Manjari in Krishna Leela. And Haridas Thakur, it is said, he was Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, we find how he stole away all the calves and cowherd boys. And after the whole incident, he begged forgiveness from Krishna. He said, "Please forgive me, I offended you, I interrupted your nice pastime." So when he prayed, it is said he desired to take birth again as someone where his position will be very low. So position of Brahma is very high, the creator of the universe. So he felt, because of my position, I offended. So therefore he requested, "Let me take birth again and take up a very low position." That's why he took that birth in a Muslim family, and he was neglected and tortured by so many people. That was a fulfillment of Lord Brahma's prayers, it is said. So all these personalities have some history behind them, who they were in Krishna Leela or in the spiritual world. So Ramananda Rai is said to be Vishakha Devi. Yeah, Vishakha Devi on the altar. He is said to be Vishakha Devi and also Arjun combined. Two incarnations, two personalities incarnated as Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai is personified, embodied this quality of sense control. He was also born in a low family. In those times, in the Hindu aristocratic society, there was this strong caste divisions. You are born in this caste and that caste. Lower caste people do not talk to higher caste, and there were strict divisions. Not only in Hindu society, in every society it was there. Even in the West it is there. So, one time when Lord Chaitanya met, first time when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai, this happened in a place called Kuvur, which is in Andhra Pradesh, near the Godavari River. And they met him, both of them met, and Ramananda Rai was the governor of that area, province. Very high political position. And first time they met, Ramananda Rai was accompanied by so many of his assistants, so many government officers. And Lord Chaitanya was traveling alone as a sannyasi. He was doing a South India tour. And when they met, although they had not met before, when Lord Chaitanya saw Ramananda Rai and Ramananda Rai saw Lord Chaitanya, they understood. They, in their original spiritual constitutional position, they could understand that we have a strong bonding. And they embraced each other tightly. And that's how the first meeting happened. So when in that meeting, Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Rai, there was a nice conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. It's called Ramananda Rai Samvad, where Lord Chaitanya becomes the student and Ramananda Rai becomes a teacher. And several questions are asked and Ramananda Rai answers. That's a nice separate study altogether. So in that conversation, Lord Chaitanya instructed Ramananda Rai that you should come to Jagannath Puri, stay with me, and we will do, we will discuss Krishna consciousness in greater detail. So Ramananda Rai agreed, he resigned from his position and gave up all his duties, governmental duties, and came to Jagannath Puri to stay with Lord Chaitanya. And they had the most intense discussions. It is said Lord Chaitanya's had three and a half most confidential associates, and one of them happened to be Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai personifies this quality of sense control. How this happened is demonstrated in one pastime. So there was this person, a person named Pradyumna Mishra. This story comes in Antyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Pradyumna Mishra was there, and he was eager to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. So he approached Lord Chaitanya and said, I want to know more about Krishna. Please explain something to me. So Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know anything about Krishna. Whatever little I know, I learned it from Ramananda Rai. He is the authority on the science of Krishna consciousness. You should go to him and he will teach you. So Pradyumna Mishra says, okay, I will go to him. And then he goes to Ramananda Rai's place, and there his servant tells him, you please wait for some time. Ramananda Rai is busy with something else. So what is he busy with? So it is said Ramananda Rai had written a book called Jagannath Vallabh Natak, a drama on the pastimes of Lord Jagannath. And he wanted actors and dancers who could perform this drama. So he was personally training young girls who could dance in this drama. So when Pradyumna Mishra came there, he saw Ramananda Rai taking these girls to a secluded place and getting them ready. So you have to do a lot of makeup, apply oil and do all the makeup, dress them. So Ramananda Rai was the one who was dressing them up and applying the makeup, which was considered unusual. Right? Generally, young ladies would dress the young girls, right? But here he was a man who was dressing up young girls. And he was surprised and shocked, and how could this happen? How can Ramananda Rai do this? But because Lord Chaitanya had instructed him, he didn't say anything. So he came back and approached Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya then explained to him, Ramananda Rai is not an ordinary person. Whenever he sees or touches young girls, it's like as good as touching wood. That's the feeling, or that's the mood or attitude he has whenever he deals with young girls. Not that he wants to enjoy them. So don't misunderstand him. He is an exalted person. So it is said, Ramananda Rai, when he was dressing these girls for the drama, he was in thinking in his original position as Vishakha. Vishakha's service in the spiritual world is to dress the gopis for the pleasure of Krishna. So Ramananda Rai, although in a male body, he was not thinking of the male. He was situated in his original position as Gopi, a Vishakha. And he was dressing those girls in that mood for the pleasure of Jagannath, for the pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, his behavior cannot be imitated. Otherwise, if we imitate, then it is risky for us. But Ramananda Rai, in his original position, was not affected by all these dealings. So then Pradyumna Mishra understood that he is the right person to teach me. And then he has a discussion with Ramananda Rai, and the discussion continues for a long time. And he understands the science of Krishna consciousness. So that's why Ramananda Rai is said to be the perfect devotee who has developed the ultimate sense control, the highest sense control. So we cannot imitate, but with the practice of sadhana bhakti, we can reach the stage where we will have total control over our mind and senses. Especially in Kali Yuga, it is not easy to control the mind and senses. With so many temptations, advertisements, billboards, everywhere, it is not easy. So that is Ramananda Rai personifying sense control. Then we have one devotee named Damodar Pandit. This devotee personified which quality? He embodied the quality of simplicity. I think it is there in this list. Simplicity is one of the quality a devotee should possess. Simplicity means no duplicity. What is duplicity? Duplicity means double dealings. You say something and you act in some other way. You promise something but you don't deliver the promise. It's like there is no match between what you speak and how you act. That is considered duplicitous. So a devotee is simple in his dealing, simple and straightforward. So it is not, that's a very difficult quality to acquire, because especially in the public we tend to behave nicely, and when we are alone our actions could be not so good, our actions may not be the best. So how we behave privately and publicly, that shows how simple and straightforward we are, how non-duplicitous we are. So our actions, our words, our thoughts, words and actions, all three should match. And for an exalted devotee, all these things match. For a practitioner, his words and actions, words and actions may match, but thoughts may not match. So that's what we need to strive for. So all three should be in perfect alignment. In alignment with pure Krishna conscious principles. So anyway, so Damodar Pandit is a devotee who personified this quality of simplicity. So this is again Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya is spending his pastime. So every year devotees from Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And they would spend 3 to 4 months in Puri, participating in Rathyatra, Gundicha Marjan and all the festivals in Jagannath Puri. So after 3-4 months they would go back. Every year this would happen. So Damodar Pandit was one devotee who was a close associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he was very free. He would speak freely with Lord Chaitanya to such an extent that whenever he felt Lord Chaitanya was doing some mistake, he would speak it up and say, this is not right. Why did you do this? So no one else would dare to do that. Because everyone knew Lord Chaitanya is Lord Chaitanya, God himself, Krishna himself. And no one felt that they had the authority to question and ask Lord Chaitanya why you did this, whatever you did. But Damodar Pandit, being a simple, innocent devotee, he would question. So one time, there was this little boy, a small child, who would come to Lord Chaitanya every day. And he would spend a lot of time with Lord Chaitanya. He would jump on the lap of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would give him nice time, play with him, give him his affection. So this child was a daughter of one young widow. And Damodar Pandit would observe this. The child is coming every day and Lord Chaitanya is giving him time. So after a couple of days, he got impatient. He said, why is Lord Chaitanya doing this? How could he do this? Because he was afraid that if this continues, then the general public will feel Lord Chaitanya, and there is some connection between Lord Chaitanya and his child's mother, the widow, the young lady, and people may develop some misunderstanding between this Lord Chaitanya's dealings with this child. So in order to avoid this criticism of Lord Chaitanya, finally he spoke out to Lord, why are you doing this? Don't you know what people will say? Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know everything, and you are all knowing, you are beyond any criticism, but I am afraid that the public will say something. The general mass of people will say something. So Lord Chaitanya said, what nonsense are you speaking? But he appreciated to some extent. Although it was not right on his part to do this, Lord Chaitanya next day, he called him up and said he has said this, I want to do one specific service. I request you to go to Nadia, my hometown, where my mother Shachi Devi is staying. You go there and deliver my message to her. Because only you can do this. You can judge everyone impartially. Impartial judgment you can do, and no one will dare to speak against you. So you should go there, observe everything, make sure everything is going nicely, and you should deliver my message to my mother, because she is in deep separation from me. Ever since I have left Mayapur and come to Puri, she is spending her days in great anxiety. Every day she is cooking food, offering it to me, and I come there and eat those food. But she doesn't know that I am coming and eating. Whenever I eat food, she thinks she is dreaming. She again goes and cooks food, thinking that someone else has eaten. So you should go there and convince her, assure her that I am daily coming there and accepting her offerings, and in this way pacify everyone who are in separation from me. So that seva was given to Damodar Pandit. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, he makes a nice statement. He says, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Damodar Pandit was a very faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Lord Chaitanya. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out. Not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that if Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. This is another instance where King Pratap Rudra wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would not allow. He said, a sannyasi is not supposed to interact with politicians, because if a sannyasi interacts with a politician, people may think that I am getting some favor from the king. I am getting some money, some position. That's why the sannyasi is eager to talk with the king. I don't want my name spoiled like that. So I am not going to meet this king. So then devotees assured him, this is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee. He is your devotee. He loves you very much. And he is not interested in materialistic affairs. So if you meet him, there is no harm. But Lord Chaitanya said, he may be a devotee, but he is a king. And that risk is there. If I meet him, the general mass of people will say something. So I am not going to meet. So in this way, the discussions happened several times. Every time the devotees would raise this topic, Lord Chaitanya said, I am not going to meet. If you continue this, if you bring this subject matter again, I am going to leave Puri and go to some other place. He would threaten like that. So then the devotee stopped speaking about this. But one time when they spoke, Damodar Pandit would criticize. He would point out, why are you doing this? So finally, when the last time when the devotee said, you should meet Pratap Rudra, Lord Chaitanya said, if Damodar Pandit allows me, then I will meet. Indirectly, he was trying to say that Damodar Pandit should not speak up like this. What he is doing and trying to find fault in me is not a proper act. And Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered the guide and spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them, and the Lord rendered Damodar Pandit a special favor by warning him to avoid criticizing him any further. A devotee or a disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. This is an interesting thing. Especially, we are accustomed to find faults with anyone. We can find faults even in Krishna. Shishupal was there, right? He found faults in Krishna. He found 100 faults. So, the tendency to find faults is there in everyone. But, in whom do we find faults? If we find faults in the activities of some exalted devotee, then that finding of faults will lead to our downfall. That will be considered a great offense. Because it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigya Nabuchai. The activities of a great devotee can never be understood even by the most learned scholar. Why a devotee acts in a certain way, why he speaks in a certain way, why he does certain things, it is many times inconceivable. And if we try to calculate and analyze that activities by our own understanding of the world, then we may end up committing a big offense. If you don't understand something, better get it clarified. But commenting on such things, remarking, making remarks, criticizing, all these are extremely harmful for our Bhakti Lata creeper. In today's times, it is a habit to, it is considered fashionable to comment on everything. Especially with social media, we have so many facilities, you know, on Facebook and other social media, you have that option to comment. Right, you share something and then you comment. For everything you comment. For every post, every message, every event, everyone likes to comment their thoughts. And if those comments are not positive, and especially if they are negative, then that creates such a poisonous atmosphere, poisonous feelings in our heart. Some devotee doing something, and then why did he do this? Why? Who? What is the authority? Why? Where it is said? Where in Shastra it is said? Where has Prabhupada said? And then we start finding faults and criticizing, and that the message spreads, and there's so many negative vibrations spreading. So we need to be careful about speaking and commenting and sharing these kind of negative messages. Especially finding faults in the activities of some exalted devotees should be extremely careful. We should carefully avoid them. So, Damodar Pandit's quality was appreciated. His simplicity was appreciated. But his criticizing the Lord was not appreciated. But we can learn this quality of being simple and straightforward. Being innocent, simple and straightforward. That quality we need to develop. And that's not an easy thing to develop, but by practice we can develop. So that is Damodar Pandit. We will take one more quality of another devotee among Lord Chaitanya's associates. This is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami embodied which quality? He embodied the quality of renunciation, vairagya. So it is said, Raghunath Das Goswami was born in an extremely rich family. His parents were, parents and uncle were Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. They were the landlords of that town. And they had huge masses of land. They were collecting taxes, huge amount of taxes every year. And extremely rich family. And Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son. He was going to inherit all the wealth that his parents had accumulated. But because of his association with Haridas Thakur in his childhood, he developed great renunciation towards material affairs, material activities, material ambitions. So when he was a young man, his parents tried to arrange his marriage, but he was least interested in marriage. And he was trying to run away from his home and trying to go and meet Lord Chaitanya. So his parents would catch him after sending guards, get him back, tie him up, lock him inside a room, and after some days he would again try to run. This back and forth continued for several times. And one day Lord Chaitanya advised him, don't be like a monkey. Monkey, what is that? Markata Vairagya. You should stay at home, get married, take care of your parents and wife, and when the right time comes, you can join me. But right now, you should not artificially try to renounce everything. So Raghunath Das Goswami followed their advice. He stayed at home, took charge of the wealth and other activities of his parents. And once they were convinced that Raghunath Das Goswami is doing everything nicely, they stopped keeping the guards. Otherwise, they had guards who would take care of Raghunath from running away. So once they were convinced that Raghunath is going to stay with us, they let loose the guards and everything was going nice. One day he got that opportunity to join Lord Chaitanya's mission. So when that opportunity came, he escaped from home and gave up everything and joined the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And it is said, the kind of renunciation he practiced in Jagannath Puri, when in the association of Lord Chaitanya, is the most highest type of renunciation, which no one can imagine to practice. So when Raghunath Das Goswami reached Jagannath Puri, his parents would send money for his maintenance and other expenses. So initially he started accepting that money, donation. And instead of using it on himself, he would organize big feasts and invite Lord Chaitanya and other associates to come and participate in those feasts. So this continued for some days and then he stopped. He thought this is not good. This is not right. I don't want to use this money for unnecessarily feeding this sinful money. He thought it is sinful money. I don't want to use this sinful money and feed Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So he stopped that practice. So when Lord Chaitanya came to know this, he inquired, why did Raghunath stop this? So his secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, informed him, this is what Raghunath Das Goswami thinks. He was not Goswami at that time, I think. He said, this is what Raghunath thinks, that this is sinful money, so therefore he has stopped feeding you. So Lord Chaitanya said, this is very good. This is ideal. This is a good renunciation practice. So then what is he doing now? He asked. So now Raghunath goes to Jagannath Puri main temple. There at the Simhadwar, he stands there and he begs for alms. That's what he does. So Lord Chaitanya appreciated that. Oh, this is good. So after some days passed like this, and Lord Chaitanya again asked, so what is Raghunath doing? I don't see him near the gate of Jagannath temple. So Swarup Damodar Goswami explained to him, now Raghunath thinks that standing at the Simhadwar of Jagannath temple and begging for money is like a prostitute's activities, waiting for the customers, who will give me money. So therefore Raghunath thinks it is not good. Therefore he gave that up. So then what is he doing now? Lord Chaitanya asked. Now he stands near the place where all the leftover rotten Mahaprasad of Jagannath that is thrown. So all this prasad, once it is rotten, 3-4 days old prasad, that is thrown in one place. So Raghunath is standing there and all these cows are there. The cows eat those rotten food and whatever they cannot eat or they cannot chew, they throw that food out and Raghunath goes and collects that rice, uncooked rice or leftover rice. He collects that, he washes them and that's what he eats. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was extremely happy. He said, this is top class renunciation. And he invited him, called him, and then one day he went to Raghunath's place where he was eating this without information, without invitation. And he saw Raghunath had collected that rice, and Lord Chaitanya went there and he snatched that rice and he ate it. So Raghunath said, this rice is not fit for you. Please don't do this. So Lord Chaitanya tasted that rice and said, this is tasting like nectar, amrit. It's the best amrit I have ever eaten. And why don't you invite me for this feast? He asked. In this way Lord Chaitanya appreciated Raghunath's renunciation. And one day he called him and said, he gifted him his personal Gunjamala. Gunjamala is a mala that Lord Chaitanya used to have. And his Govardhan Shila that he used to personally worship. And he said, this is my gift to you. And he handed over that gift. So Lord Raghunath then, since then, started worshipping that Govardhan Shila every day. If you go to his temple, you find that Shila still there. So that is Raghunath Das Goswami. And he embodied this quality of renunciation. And it is said, till the end of his life, as long as he was there in Vrindavan, he would daily offer 1,000 obeisances to Govardhan Parikrama. Govardhan, he would offer several hundred obeisances to all the devotees there. He would chant continuously, almost 20 to 22 hours every day. And that's how he spent. And he would discuss the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and narrate them to Roop Sanatan Goswami and all the other devotees in Vrindavan. Because Raghunath was staying in Puri and he had seen Lord Chaitanya's activities, most of the activities. And the devotees in Vrindavan were not able to see what Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were happening here. So Raghunath would describe all the pastimes that he had personally witnessed, that he had heard from others, and he would do that discussion for all the devotees in Vrindavan. So one of those devotees who heard Lord Raghunath Das Goswami speaking was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And after hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote the book Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in that way, Raghunath Das Goswami's contribution is there towards the production of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So several devotees we have in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, each of them embodying one devotional quality in a great manner, in an exemplifying manner. And all these devotees are not ordinary people. Most of them are descending from the spiritual world. They are either gopis, manjaris and sakhas of Krishna in Vrindavan. And they came here to assist Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in this material world. And establish certain principles. And the Goswamis wrote books, several books. Raghunath Das Goswami also wrote several books. There is one book called Manas Shiksha, written by Raghunath Das Goswami. Shiksha for the mind. How the mind is a crazy thing and how we need to control the mind. Prayers to the mind. So all these are valuable books these Goswamis have written. And if you can get time and study these books, study these teachings and apply them in our lives, we can benefit in a great manner. So, I'll stop here. Any questions anyone has? Or we can have Kirtan soon.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Last time when you gave the lecture, it was on the topic of obstacles in the path of devotional service. And the last section of that was relationship for the fast advancing devotees.
Who gave the lecture?
You.
I gave?
Yeah. One Sunday face, long time back.
Okay.
So the last section was relationship issue on the for the fast advancing devotees, but because of the lack of time, you could not complete it. Would you please take up a little bit for that? It's totally different from this.
Relationship?
For the fast advancing devotees, the main obstacle is relationship. That's what you said, but you could not elaborate it.
So I'll have to recall. I don't remember what I said. Kali Yuga memory, you know. Relationship obstacles on the relationship is an obstacle on the path of devotion service. Relationship issues. Why didn't you ask then? That's a big detailed topic. You'll have to specify the exact thing.
You spoke on the obstacles for the, the path of devotional service, and the first two topics you spoke was like on the beginners and the Madhyamada guys. Then those who are very fast advancing devotees, the main issue you did not mention, but I asked you the question that at least you list the thing. So you said it is a relationship issue.
Okay. So one, if I remember properly, one thing is maintaining cooperation. Cooperation among devotees. Because we all carry certain amount of false ego, right? And ego clashes happen. So especially when we have a mission, superior mission that we need to carry out, then we have to keep these egos aside and work towards the mission. If we don't have a mission, especially a spiritual mission, and if everyone is coming together for the purpose of sense gratification, then cooperation is not so difficult. Like if you find outside, there are so many societies coming together for various purposes. Communities exist even outside. Some people, they are communities of drunkards who come every week, every Saturday, every partying, community of sports lovers, community of chess players, carom players. All these people come and they have nice cooperation. Even in local trains, you find greater cooperation than we find here among devotees. Although it's a big crowded train, people share seats and have a nice time. They play cards, they play musical songs, Bollywood songs. But the cooperation principle is sense gratification. But in our mission of devotee, in our society of devotees, sometimes it could be a greater challenge to cooperate because the purpose is not sense gratification. We have our purpose or mission is, it's beyond the material, right? We have to share the message of Krishna, message of Lord Chaitanya with others, and we don't have anything personal agenda for coming together. Many devotees who do services here, they are doing voluntarily. If you see people washing plates, shoe stall, seva, prasadam distribution seva, no one is getting paid, right? No one is paid for that. But still people are coming and cooperating and doing all these services. So that requires a greater motivation than that the cooperation that we find among non-devotees. At least they get some enjoyment, some personal thing, some reward, some sense gratification. So in such a society, maintaining cooperative relationship is a challenge. And if we don't get something, we are likely to commit offenses in the name of service. If something doesn't go in our way, and because we have nothing to lose, we are easy, the temptation is there to find faults and criticize is much more than what we may find outside. So therefore, Prabhupada said that statement, what is that? Organization and intelligence. You can show your love to me by the way you cooperate. You can show your love towards me by how you cooperate among yourself to spread the mission. So in that sense, cooperation among devotees is a challenge. Here we have a community of several thousand devotees, right? 3 to 4 thousand devotees are there, and to have everyone united together, serving the mission of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, it's a big, big challenge, and no one is paid. So the whole ISKCON community, ISKCON movement is running based on that higher principle of coming together and serving to please Krishna, the Guru Parampara. And within that, if we have some ego clashes, we have to tolerate. We have to avoid committing offenses. That's one challenge which most of us find here. Is that okay? Yes, bro. One last question we can take.
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, sir.
Prabhuji, this is regarding principally you told Damodar Pandit representing simplicity. Prabhuji, it is not clear. In the sense that should we be finding faults with the aim to improve the other person? Or should we be, it is confusing actually.
Yeah. I didn't clarify probably. Simplicity is needed. We need to be straightforward in our dealings. But we need to be non-offensive. What happens many times is we are straight but rude. In the name of straightforwardness, we end up speaking rudely, which leads to offenses. Or the other extreme is to, in order to avoid rude answers or rude reply, we suppress ourselves and don't speak up at all. So the balance is, we have to be straight and polite. Instead of, in the name of humility, we need not suppress ourselves, suppress our feelings, suppress our emotions, and don't speak up anything. We keep on tolerating and getting tortured, and a point comes where we explode and offend. So if you speak up in the right mood, right attitude, straightforward, simple, express our emotions without being rebellious and harsh, that kind of simplicity is appreciated.
Hari Bol. Prabhuji, but if considering that, probably a senior devotee, if he doesn't point any mistakes to a junior devotee, that junior devotee will never improve. So, being simplicity and finding faults, I'm still confused. I mean, if a senior devotee does not point to faults with a junior devotee, considering that it may lead to offenses or things like that, then the junior devotee, he will never improve in his lifetime.
If you are in an authoritative position, so you are talking in for the senior devotee or the junior devotee?
Anyway, a senior devotee will never consider that he is a senior devotee.
If you are in a position of authority where several people are under us, serving us, then we need to point out faults and point the mistakes so that they can improve. But how we tell them, it depends how we tell them. If you are telling them in an encouraging manner, in a privately, like it is said, the pip-prip formula, you know that? Praise in public, reprimand in private. So when you want to glorify, appreciate someone, that you do in public. When you want to correct someone or point out the mistakes in someone, some mistakes they have done in their seva, that you do in private. And how you do, how much authority we have to correct the person, and the right time, the right place, in the right mood, all these things have to be considered. So if our feedback is not appreciated by the junior, in spite of following all these principles, the right time, place, circumstance, in private, and if that feedback is not taken properly, then the problem could be with the junior. His attitude could be wrong. And if his attitude is right, then the feedback should be will be taken properly and he will improve. And we also need to give time. Not everyone is able to, even the feedback is taken right, he may not be able to implement the feedback immediately. Some people take days and months or even years to improve that, apply that feedback properly. So that also we need to consider. And if we are the junior, then we need to develop the right attitude to accept any feedback. Even if the feedback is not given properly, we need to be taking it as coming from Krishna. And the person who is giving the feedback, the senior, he may be not following all the principles of time, place, circumstance. But still, if something hurts us, we should be taking it in right mood, saying, thinking, ultimately it is coming from Krishna, and Krishna wants me to improve in this way. Does that make sense? Personally?
Hari Bol. Raghunath Das Goswami, जो उनकी पिताजी जो पैसा बेचते थे, तो वो पैसा भक्तों के काम में यूज करते थे, प्रसाद के लिए देते थे. तो रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी ने ऐसा कैसा सोचा कि ये पैसा पाप का होगा या गलत काम का होगा, तो हम प्रसाद खिलाना नहीं चाहिए. जैसे कि भक्त लोग भी जो भी कुछ कमाते हैं तो भगवान की सेवा में लगाते, भक्तों की सेवा में लगाते, तो हम कैसे समझे कि ये पैसा पाप का है? जो आदमी सर्विस करता है, जो आदमी धंधा करता है, अगर समझो कि मानो कि कोई आदमी बिजनेस करता है, बिजनेस में अगर 10 रुपया कमाता है, अगर 2 रुपया भक्तों के लिए खर्चा करता है, तो वो कैसा माना जाए कि वो पाप का पैसा है?
नहीं, ये पैसा तो रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी खुद नहीं कमा रहे थे ना, उनके पिताजी कमा रहे थे.
तो मतलब गवर्नमेंट का जो टैक्स होता था, टैक्स मतलब ये करता था, तो पाप का तो था ही नहीं वो पैसा.
पता नहीं, अभी रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी को लगा कि ये पैसा जो है सही ढंग से कमाया नहीं है. He felt that it is not proper legally owned money.
But Raghunath Das Goswami surrendered to Krishna consciousness.
Raghunath Das Goswami surrendered. His parents may not be surrendered. He didn't feel his parents were surrendered. And parents were not voluntarily donating for the mission of Lord Chaitanya. वो लोग रघुनाथ अपने बेटे के लिए दे रहे थे. वो बेटा भगवान की सेवा में लगा रहा था, वो that is his glory. But how the money was acquired and for what purpose they were donating, that is, Raghunath didn't consider it is pure devotion service. खुद करना बात अलग है, दूसरों का पैसा, किसी और का पैसा इसमें लगाना, that's a slight difference. If you are earning, अभी आप पैसा कमा रहे हैं और आप लगा रहे सेवा में, that's another thing. Just like, for example, if you are getting money, some donation from some illegally owned, कोई कुछ गलत काम करके, समझो किसी ने पैसा दिया, वी शुड बी केयरफुल, ये पैसा इसमें लगाना है कि नहीं. जैसे कोई कई बार बड़े मीट इंडस्ट्री या गैम्बलिंग इंडस्ट्री, ये लोग कभी कभी डोनेशन देते हैं पैसा, बट सम डिवोटीज फील कि ये यूज नहीं करना चाहिए, भगवान के लिए दे रहे पैसा, लेकिन उनको लगता है कि ये सही नहीं है, ये डोनेशन लेना नहीं चाहिए. तो दैट डिपेंड्स ऑन इंडिविजुअल. We cannot say a blanket rule कि ये गलत है या सब सही है. From depending on time, place, circumstance, we need to decide whether it is right or wrong. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.